Wrong one. Oh my God, I am just so, I'm overwhelmed by the love of God this morning. Well, happy Father's Day to all you fathers out there and spiritual fathers. We say happy Father's Day to our Father, Abba Father. Father, we love you so much. You surround us with your love. Even though we think we don't deserve it. But you love us unconditionally, just the way we are. So, Lord, we thank you for that. We are not perfect beings, but we're your children. And, Lord, we just thank you that we could run to you anytime for anything, and you'll get us out of whatever it is. So, Lord, we thank you over and over again. We thank you. We thank you for your goodness. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, we worship you. We praise you this morning. We're so thankful for your son, Jesus. As we receive communion this morning, we will reflect and remember everything that your son has done for us. So at this time, oh, Lord, let's just take a moment and just, before we receive communion, to ask the Lord if there's anything that we need to release to him. This is like a cleansing today. I feel like the communion is like a cleansing. Cleansing us from all sin, cleansing us for our healing that we need in our body, just cleansing ourselves, the temple, inside and out. So just take a moment and just ask the Lord. I'm going to ask Brad and Scott to come up, and if you could just hand out the elements for us today. How are you doing, Brad? Good. Touching our hearts this morning. Thank you, Lord. He's such a good, good dad. As they're handing out the elements, it says in 1 Corinthians 11:23, Paul says, I've handed down to you what came to me by direct revelation from the Lord himself. The same night in which he was handed over, he took the bread and gave thanks. Then he distributed it to all the disciples and said, take it and eat your fill. It is my body which has been given for you. Do this to remember me. He did the same with the cup of wine after supper and said, the cup seals the new covenant with my blood. Drink it, and whenever you drink this, do it to remember me. Whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are retelling the story, proclaiming our Lord's death until he comes. For this reason, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in a wrong spirit will be guilty of dishonoring the body and the blood of the Lord. So let each individual first evaluate his own attitude, and only then eat the bread and drink the cup. For continually eating and drinking with the wrong spirit will bring judgment upon yourself by not recognizing the body. This intensity is why many of you are weak, chronically ill, and some even dying. So what he's saying here is to recognize what Jesus has done for us on the cross and to remember and reflect. It's not only for forgiveness of sins, but to heal our bodies, because every stripe that he took on his body was for our healing. He took every disease, every sickness, every sin. He took it all so we could be free. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody got one? Thank you, Lord. Don't forget to take for yourself, Scott. Oh, he got it. She got it for you. She got Scott. We're going to pray over the bread as we eat it. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you that Jesus said, I am the bread of life. His body represents the word of God. We need to eat his word every day. So, Lord, as we fill ourselves up with this bread today, Lord, I thank you that you are the bread of life. And that life is in your word. So, Lord, we receive your word. We receive Jesus today as life coming into our bodies right now in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name that Jesus shed his blood for us. Not only to forgive us and cleanse us of all our sin, he redeemed us from the curse of the law, poverty, sickness, and death. And as we drink this morning, take it in as a cleansing. I just sense a cleansing has to come inside of ourselves. So, Lord, I thank you for cleaning us, Lord. And as we drink this cup this morning, I thank you, Lord, that you're cleaning us inside and out. Because of the blood of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. Today's Father's Day. Yay, fathers. So I want all you fathers and young men, future fathers, all stand up. I'm going to pray this prayer over you today. It's in Ephesians 2:17. It says, I pray that the Father of glory, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, would impart to you the riches of the Spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation to know him through your deepening intimacy with him. I pray that the light of God will illuminate the eyes of your imagination, flooding you with light until you experience the full revelation of hope of his calling, that is the wealth of the God's glorious inheritances that he finds in you, his holy ones. I pray that you will be continually experiencing the immeasurable greatness of God's power made available to you through faith. Then your lives will be an advertisement of this immense power as it works through you. This is the mighty power that was released when God raised Christ from the dead and exalted him to the place of highest honor and supreme authority in the heavenly realm. Amen. God bless you guys. Carla, can you pass these out to all the guys? Now, these are not weapons, okay? It's very hard to give gifts to guys. Use it as it's a keychain, or you could use it as a tool, okay? But not a weapon. It says fight the fight of faith on it. Fight the fight of faith. Amen. It's not a weapon. Our weapon is faith. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord God. Okay. Do we have a lot left over? Or you don't know yet? Give them to these young boys, too. It's not a weapon, though. Give it to mommy. Let her say if it's okay or not. Now, is there a lot left? Is anybody going to see their dad today? Okay. Yeah, I know. I think most of our fathers are in heaven right now. What about sons? You got sons? Okay. I don't want any leftovers. Give them to sons. Brad, did you take one for your son? Okay, go ahead. What's that? Nothing. Yeah, you just don't want to tell me. That's all. We got them all? Yay! Good. Bless you guys. You're welcome. Okay, now it's time to receive the offering. So let's honor God with our wealth. He said wealth. Okay? So, Lord, I thank you for wealth. That's more than enough, right? It says, glorify God with all your wealth, honoring him with your very best, with every increase that comes to you. Then every dimension of your life will overflow with blessings from an uncontainable source of inner joy. You get a lot of joy when you got some wealth. You're happy all over, right? Thank you, Jesus. So, Father, we glorify you. If you need an envelope, if you need to give through a credit or debit card, Alan's back there. What's up? Something's going on back there. Does anybody have a word from the Lord this morning? Oh, okay, I want to hear it. Got some confirmation?
Well, Karen gave the word that Don Gatlin had drought is over. And this week I read in the news feed that in the Lehigh Valley, there are no more drought conditions.
So whatever happens in the natural happens in the spirit, or whatever happens in the spirit happens in the natural. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Okay, come on up.
I had a dream about a year ago, or about the rain. Was that about a year ago? And it was three women in the dream. But they said, I said there's going to be revival. And they said, yes, the Holy High Valley. And we were in a bad drought then. And they said, when it rains for 3 days straight, revival hits. Well, it's been raining and raining and raining. So revival's here.
There's a huge one going on in England. I just saw it on YouTube this morning. They're out in the streets. There's thousands and thousands people receiving Jesus. I mean, it's happening all over the world. Lord, when's it going to happen here? Today. Come on, Lord. 31 years ago was Toronto. Today. That's right. On Father's Day, 31 years ago. Do it again, Lord. Wow, 31 years ago. That doesn't seem right. It doesn't. Time is flying. Yes. What is going on in this world right now? Lots. Yep. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. We're just going to wait on them. They're giving right now. So let me pray for, let's empty out the hospitals, the nursing homes, people that are homesick. Okay? Let's lift them all up today. Father, we lift up all those that are in nursing homes and hospitals that are homebound, Lord. We just lift them all up to you today. Lord, I thank you for pouring out your love upon them as you heal their bodies, Lord, from the top of their heads to the soles of their feet. Lord, I ask that people, their family, would come and visit them, Lord. They've been shut in so long, Lord. They have no visitors sometimes, and Lord, that feels very discouraging. So, Lord, we just ask, Lord, that people would visit their moms, their dads, their brothers, their sisters, aunts and uncles, and whoever, Lord, that are just in hospitals, nursing homes, or homebound, Lord. So, Lord, we just thank you for them. We thank you that by the stripes of Jesus, they are all healed, whole, and delivered. We thank you you're going to empty out the hospitals. You're going to empty out the nursing homes. You're going to be emptying out everyone that has any kind of sickness or disease. Lord, we're going to start believing you and trusting you. And Lord, we call upon you today that everyone will be saved. So Lord, we just thank you right now for touching lives in this community and the outskirts. Lord, you're pouring out your spirit on all flesh, all flesh, every single person from the oldest to the youngest to the oldest, Lord. You're calling them into your kingdom, Lord. Set people free in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Woo. Okay, let's pray over the tithes and offerings. Yes, whistle, whistle. Lord, we thank you. We are full of joy, Lord, because we know what time it is. So, Lord, we thank you for bringing increase of wealth into our storehouse, Lord. As we give into your storehouse, you give into our storehouse. So, Lord, we just thank you for supplying every one of our needs. We thank you, Lord, for taking care of your children. So, Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do in this time. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Ooh, glory, yes.
I'd like to ask for a corporate prayer for my nephew Andrew, or our nephew Andrew and his wife Keegan. He had testicular cancer about 13 years ago, and they want to have children, and they have to go through in vitro because of that, and they've had two miscarriages, and the second one just happened not too long ago, and he was going to come out. David, our son, is graduating on Tuesday, and they're really close, and he was going to come out for the graduation, and he canceled the trip because she's in such a bad state because of the two miscarriages. And just ask that we could all pray for them. And that, you know, I just can feel our pain, and I think, Lord, we ask you, Holy Spirit, to reach out and give them comfort. Lord, we don't know why this happened to them, but you do, and we trust that you work all things for good to those that love you. And we pray for them, Lord, that your comfort would reach down deep, deep, deep inside them and relieve their pain. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, everyone.
And also heal all those that are in rehabs. The Lord said, don't forget the rehabs. Empty them out too. Right, Rita? Amen. So heal them too. Set the captive free. Yes, as I was praying, I heard to do that.
I also was hearing that Lord wants us to reclaim the authority of our tongue in Jesus' name. Yeah, I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, you know what? These things keep coming at us. These things keep coming back. And it's like Satan's just going, yeah, heard you before, you know. And you know when you're a little kid and sometimes your mom will tell you not to do something, or you were in school and the teacher would say, don't do that, and you'd be like, and you know. But the minute somebody said your full name, you listened. You moved and you did what needed to be done. So sometimes I think instead of just saying, oh, stop, Satan, you know, go away, we need to say, Satan, father of lies, in the name of Jesus, and let him have it. Because we have that kind of authority. Okay? So everybody touch your tongue. Make sure your hands are clean. Father, I thank you that I can reclaim that authority to my tongue. And we claim it this day, and we give you warning, Satan, in Jesus' name, that when God proclaims something, it will be done. Thank you, God.
Amen. Amen. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. So those who eat the fruit of it, whichever you're saying, you're going to get it. That's why we have to watch our tongues. Amen. What? Speak life. That's right. Speak life. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, announcements. Okay, today is Father's Day, and the Ministry of Helps made some food. So after service, they have barbecue and salads and desserts, I'm sure, and it's in the front. So don't leave without having some fellowship. Okay, Tuesday afternoon at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, we have our prayer time. So if you are available, come on out and pray with us. Come in agreement with us. It's very powerful. And next Sunday, June 22nd, Ed Cowens will be back with us at 10:30, and he has a word, and he's all excited about coming. So, yeah, we look forward to that. And then July 13th, Sunday, Don and Debbie Gatlin will return at 10:30 with live worship, preaching, and ministry. So we're excited about them coming also. So tell people about them and, you know, invite people out to service. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on in the world, and I'm sure they don't feel very good right now. And I know they know something's happening, and they don't know. And we have the answer, right? So glory to God. All right, let me pray, and we'll deliver the message. Father, we thank you for today. We love you, Lord, so much. We thank you and praise you that you fill us with your spirit, that you bring life into us, Lord. You heal our bodies. You bring joy as we worship and praise you, Lord. The joy that comes and fills our hearts, fills yours. And, Lord, I know that you get touched by every time we praise you and glorify your name. So today, Holy Spirit, just take my tongue right now and deliver this message to us, Lord. And Lord, I thank you that we're all ready to receive everything that you have to say to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So the name of my message today is The Father's Love. Knowing our Heavenly Father's heart and loving him. He told me, when I was preparing this message, he told me to tell you that he loves you. I know it sounds cliche, but he does love you. And he also asked me to say this. If there's someone in this room, he said, tell them to stop running away from me. So if you're running away from the Father, run back to him. Now, the intimacy with our Heavenly Father may be hard for some because we view and judge him like our natural fathers. Some of us may have had good, loving fathers, maybe had some hard, abusive fathers, so-so fathers, maybe absentee fathers. Let's not judge them harshly because they too had issues in their life that probably never been dealt with, right? And they had backgrounds that they didn't know. Maybe they went through traumas in their life and they had a lot of unhealed issues which were brought into our lives. That is why forgiveness is so important. We need to just let go of all judgments. Stop throwing stones, okay? No one is perfect. We live in a fallen world. I got reminded here of what Jesus said on the cross. He said, "Forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." If Jesus certainly could say that while he's dying on the cross, we certainly could say that too, to anyone. Amen. But our Heavenly Father, who is perfect, he is a good father because he is love. We are all accepted as children, as his son and daughter in the family of God because he values all of us. Every single one of us are valued. Now let's turn to Romans 8, 15 to 17. And says here, and you did not receive the spirit of religious duty, leading you back into the fear of never being good enough. But you have received the spirit of full acceptance, enfolding you into the family of God, and you will never feel orphaned, for as he raises up within us, our spirits join him in saying the words of tender affection, beloved Father, for the Holy Spirit makes God's fatherhood real to us as he whispers into our innermost being, you are God's beloved child. We receive the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. That's from another translation. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And if we're children of God, then we're heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If we suffer with him, which means accept his feelings and concerns, that we may also be glorified with him. And you know, the Father, when you're adopted, you're chosen, right? You handpick, you're chosen. And that's what it's saying here. So let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 16 to 18. Second Corinthians 6, 16 to 18. Of course, I'm using the Passion, so And they have that up there. What friendship does God's temple, which we are, have with demons? For indeed we are the temple of the living God. Just as God has said, I will make my home in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. And for this reason, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch nothing that is unclean, and I will embrace you. I will be a true father to you, and you will be my beloved sons and daughters, says the Lord Yahweh Almighty. That is amazing. Amazing. And it says that God assumes the role for caring for us and meeting our needs, giving himself for us for eternity, forever, ever, and ever. That is full security. He got us. Don't let anybody, anything, any demon from hell talk you out of the love of God for you. You are accepted as the beloved. The Father is always watching over us. He is interested in everything that we do. He cares for us. He desires such a loving relationship with us individually because he wants us to know he loves us unconditionally. What does unconditionally mean? Just the way you are. You're not perfect. None of us are. He loves you just the way you are. He wants the best for us, and we can trust him. He gave us his kingdom with all the rights and privileges in it. He designed the kingdom for everyone on an equal basis for us to enjoy. It is our inheritance. Unfortunately, people have the wrong perception of who the Father is because they don't understand why he doesn't stop evil things from happening or stop bad people from destroying. The Father sees all people with love and desires for all people to come into repentance and receive Jesus, his Son, and inherit the kingdom. Unfortunately, the powers of darkness are at work to disguise the goodness of God and his salvation plan. They don't know that God cannot steal, kill, or destroy. Only the devil. John 10:10. I'm going to repeat that again. God cannot kill, steal, or destroy. He is love. Only the devil kills, steals, and destroys. But the wages of sin is death. Evil will cause themselves to die. But that's not God's plan. So don't ever say, if something bad happens to you, it's from God. Because he cannot do that. And his desire for all is to receive life abundantly in his kingdom. And that's what John 10:10 says. He came to bring life and bring it more abundantly. But the plan of God is for the church to be the model or the example to show who the Father is and what his kingdom is like. And Jesus is our example, and he taught us about the Father and about his heart and his love. When Jesus was here on earth, he was the model to show who the Father is and how to live in the kingdom. The kingdom is invisible on the earth, but we can have the same advantages and rights is heaven, because remember Jesus said in the Lord's Prayer, on earth as it is in heaven. Now, is there sickness in heaven? Is there poverty in heaven? Is there stress in heaven? Is there conflict in heaven? Okay. Well, that's how God's kingdom is. So, whoa, you're right. Jesus knew the Father's heart better than anyone, and he was delighted to reveal it to the rest of us, his sons and daughters. Now, we're going to look at three short parables this morning. The first one is in Luke 15:1. Let's turn there. And that's about the lost sheep or the lost lamb, Luke 15:1. Okay. It says, many dishonest tax collectors and other notorious sinners often gathered around to listen as Jesus taught the people. This raised concerns with the Jewish religious leaders and experts of the law. Indignant, they grumbled and complained, saying, look at how this man associates with all these notorious sinners and welcomes them all to come to him. Did you ever get persecuted when you started speaking to sinners, go to bars and start speaking to them? And just putting that out there. In response, Jesus gave them this illustration. There's no need. Who cares? You just do it anyway. Okay. In response, Jesus gave them this illustration. There once was a shepherd with 100 lambs, but one of his lambs wandered away and was lost. So the shepherd left the 99 lambs out in the open field and searched in the wilderness for that one lost lamb. He didn't stop until he finally found it. With the exuberant joy, he raised it up and placed it on his shoulders, carrying it back with joyful delight. Returning home, he called all his friends and his neighbors together and said, let's have a party. Come and celebrate with me the return of my lost lamb. It wandered away, but I found it and brought it home. And Jesus continued in the same way. There will be a glorious celebration in heaven over the rescue of one lost sinner who repents, comes back home, and returns to the fold, more so than for all the righteous people who never strayed away. Ha! This is an awesome picture of the Good Shepherd. He doesn't beat the sheep for wandering away. He goes after the one sheep or the lamb. He raises it up, carries it back home. And Jesus is showing that the Father cares for all the sheep, symbolic for people in his kingdom. You can take this as God is chasing after the unsaved one or the one who strayed away to bring the one back into his love and kingdom. This may be where the song came from, Reckless Love. That's why I played it today. He goes after the one. Why? Because he loves them, no matter what. Now let's look at Luke 15:8. It's about the lost coin. So it says here, Jesus gave them another parable. There once was a woman who had ten valuable silver coins. When she lost one of them, she swept her entire house diligently, searching every corner of her house for that one lost coin. When she finally found it, she gathered all her friends and neighbors for a celebration, telling them, come and celebrate with me. I had lost my previous silver coin, but now I've found it. That's the way God responds every time one lost sinner repents and turns to him. He says to all his angels, let's have a joyous celebration for that one who was lost. I have found. Man, he likes to celebrate. Jesus is showing the value of a lost soul and how it is an ache in God's heart for every one of his children to return to him. Even those who are lost and sinning, and note that although the coin was lost, it never lost its value. They're still valuable out there. All sinners are valued, even the most ugliest, evilest, disgusting people. He loves them too. He values them. We still are valued to God, even when we are lost. He doesn't want anybody to perish. Now let's look at the last one in the parable of the loving father and the lost son, Luke 15:11. Okay, it says, then Jesus said, once there was a father with two sons. The younger son came to his father and said, Father, don't you think it's time to give me the share of your estate that belongs to me? So the father went ahead and distributed among the two sons their inheritance. Shortly afterward, the younger son packed up all his belongings and traveled off to see the world. He journeyed to a far-off land where he soon wasted all of his given and wasted all he was given in a binge of extravagant and reckless living. With everything spent and nothing left, he grew hungry, for there was a severe famine in that land. So he begged a farmer in the country to hire him. The farmer hired him and sent him out to feed the pigs. The son was so famished, he was willing to even eat the slop given to the pigs, because no one would feed him a thing. Humiliated, the son finally realized what he was doing, and he thought, "There are many workers at my father's house who have all the food they want with plenty to spare. They lack nothing. Why am I here dying of hunger, feeding these pigs and eating their slop? I want to go back home to my father's house, and I'll say to him, 'Father, I was wrong. I have sinned against you. I'll never be worthy to be called your son. Please, Father, just treat me like one of your employees.'" So the young son set off for home. From a long distance away, his father saw him coming dressed as a beggar, and a great compassion swelled up in his heart for his son who was returning home. So the father raced out to meet him. He swept him up in his arms, hugged him dearly, kissed him over and over with tender love. Then the son said, "Father, I was wrong. I have sinned against you, and I could never deserve to be called your son. Just let me be." The father interrupted and said, "Son, you're home now." Turning to his servants, the father said, "Quick, bring me the best robe, my very own robe, and I will place it on his shoulders. Bring the ring, the seal of sonship, and I will put it on his finger. And bring out the best shoes you can find for my son. Let's prepare our great feast and celebrate. For this beloved son of mine was once dead, but now he's alive again. Once he was lost, but now he is found, and everyone celebrated with overflowing joy." Now the older son was out working in the field when his brother returned, and as he approached the house, he heard the music of celebration and dancing. So he called over one of the servants and asked, "What's going on?" And the servant replied, "It's your younger brother. He returned home, and your father is throwing a party to celebrate his homecoming." The older son became angry and refused to go in and celebrate. So his father came out and pleaded with him, "Come and enjoy the feast with us." The son said, "Father, listen, how many years have I been working like a slave for you, performing every duty you asked as a faithful son? And I've never once disobeyed you, but you've never thrown a party for me because of my faithfulness. Never once have you even given me a goat that I could feast on and celebrate with my friends like he's doing now. But look at this son of yours. He comes back after wasting your wealth on prostitutes and reckless living, and here you are throwing a great feast to celebrate for him." The father said, "My son, you are always with me by my side. Everything I have is yours to enjoy. It's only right to celebrate like this and be overjoyed because this brother of yours was once dead and gone, but now he is alive and back with us again. He was lost, but now he is found." What a story, right? The father here is a symbol of Father God. The son leaves the father's house or left the father's kingdom to go into the world with his inheritance. The son blows all his inheritance, made a mess of his life. After the money runs out, he has to work, and he takes the lowest possible job for any Jewish person, and that was to feed pigs. Right? The son became hungry and desperate. The son comes to his senses and wanted to go home to his father's house, where he had all the rights and privileges of the father's house. But the son knows he sinned and doesn't expect to be restored to his family, but is content to live as one of his father's servants. The son was repentant. But the father was watching for him. He ran to his son, and he had compassion for him. What happened next? Father paid no attention to his son's desire to be a servant, but he immediately restores his son's privileged place in the family, giving him a ring, which is a seal of sonship, and the father's robe, and throws a lavish party. And there you go again. The father never gave up on his son, just like us. God the Father never gives up on us, and we should never give up on our family. The father rejoices in his children no matter what we've done. He wants us to come to him, for he is merciful. He's kind and quick to forgive all who repent. But on another note, the older brother got angry. He was angry because he did everything right for his father, but yet said the father never threw him a party, and he didn't want to go to the party of his brother. The father pleads with him to come in and join the party. The father told the older son that everything he already had was his to enjoy, but the son didn't understand grace. It's free. It's a free gift for all. It's not about works. And we are to be happy for all who come into or back into the kingdom, and to rejoice with them also. It says in Ephesians 2, 4:10, and this takes place before we're saved. So let's look at that scripture right now. Ephesians 2, 4:10. It says here, but God still loved us with such a great love. He is so rich in compassion and mercy. Even when we were dead and doomed in our many sins, he united us into the very life of Christ and saved us by his wonderful grace. He raised us up with Christ, the exalted one, and we ascended with him into the glorious perfection and authority of the heavenly realm. There's the authority right now. For we are now co-seated as one with Christ. Throughout the coming ages, we will be the visible display of the infinite, limitless riches of his grace and kindness, which was showered upon us in Jesus Christ. For it was only through this wonderful grace that we believed in him. Nothing we did could ever earn this salvation, for it was the gracious gift from God that brought us to Christ. We don't receive salvation through works. We receive salvation through a free gift of grace from God. Amen. So no one will ever be able to boast, for salvation is never a reward for good works, for human striving. It says it right there. That will never get you to heaven. Only receiving Jesus. We have become his poetry, a recreated people that will fulfill the destiny he has given each of us. For we are joined to Jesus, the Anointed One. He has a destiny for each and every one of us to fulfill. Even before we were born, it says, God planned in advance our destiny and the good works that go with the destiny we would do to fulfill it. Amen. Glory to God. That blows my mind. Before we were born, our whole life has been written out. And we're just going on this journey, fulfilling it the best we can anyway. And in Romans 5, it points out the fact that God's love is not earned or deserved. Rather, it is purely a free gift that comes from undeserved favor or grace. Now let's look at that. Romans 5:1. I'm in 1 instead of 5. 5:1. It says, our faith in Jesus transfers God's righteousness to us, and he now declares us flawless in his eyes. This means we can now enjoy true and lasting peace with God, all because of what our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One, has done for us. Our faith guarantees us permanent access into his marvelous kindness that has given us a perfect relationship with God. What incredible joy bursts forth within us as we keep on celebrating our hope of experiencing God's glory. But that's not all. Even in the times of trouble, we have a joyful confidence knowing that our pressures will develop in a patient endurance. And patient endurance will refine our character, and proven character leads us back to hope. And this hope is not disappointing fantasy, because we can now experience the endless love of God cascading into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who lives in us. For when the time was right, the Anointed One came and died, demonstrated his love for sinners who were entirely helpless, weak, and powerless to save themselves. Now, who of us would dare to die for the sake of a wicked person? We can all understand if someone was willing to die for a truly noble person. But Christ proved God's passionate love for us by dying in our place while we were still lost and ungodly. And there is still much more to say of his unfailing love for us. For through the blood of Jesus, we have heard the powerful declaration, you are now righteous in my sight. And because of the sacrifice of Jesus, you will never experience the wrath of God. You will never experience the wrath of God because you are saved. So if while we were still enemies, God fully reconciled us to himself through the death of his son, then something greater than friendship is ours. Now that we are at peace with God and because we share in his resurrection life, how much more we will be rescued from sin's dominion. And even more than that, we overflow with triumphant joy in our new relationship of living reconciled to God, all because of Jesus Christ. We have the greatest peace and joy knowing that God will never take back his love for us. Even if we made a mistake or we have fallen into sin, we can come to the Father in Jesus' name in repentance, even if you feel ashamed, guilty, and unworthy. We just need to return to the Father and ask for forgiveness, and the blood of Jesus will cover the sin. And as far as the east is to the west, your sin is forgiven and forgotten. Done, forgotten, all over with. So don't bring that back into your brain, as the devil likes to do that. Now let's read Ephesians 3:16-19. And Paul says here, and I pray that he would unveil within you the unlimited riches of his glory and favor until supernatural strength floods your innermost being with his divine might and explosive power. Those are really powerful words there. Then by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside of you, and the resting place of his love will become the very source and the root of your life. Wow. That's a nugget right there. I'm going to say that again. By constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside of you. And the resting place of his love will become the very source and the root of your life. Then you will be empowered to discover that every holy one experiences the great magnitude of the astonishing love of Christ in all its dimensions. How deeply intimate and far-reaching is his love. How enduring and inclusive it is. Endless love beyond measurement that transcends our understanding. This extravagant love pours into you until you are filled to overflowing with the fullness of God. The fullness is his love. I put that in there. It says, never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all, for his miraculous power constantly energizes you. Woo. Wow, that's a lot there. We have the greatest peace and joy knowing that God will never take back his love, like I said before. And by constantly using our faith to comprehend or to understand God's love, it surpasses all our knowledge. We have to take hold of this truth that his love is so huge, so big, it's endless, and you can't measure it. It says it a little differently in the other translations. That translation is probably the one that you're most familiar with. So let me read that to you. What scripture is it? Where am I? 3:16. Okay. This is usually how we hear it. Let's see. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, for whom every family in heaven and earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to his riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you would be rooted and grounded in love. May be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works within us. That's the love of God. That's the root of everything inside of us. And we can't comprehend it because it's so big. It bypasses our understanding. It's so extravagant, this love, into us until he wants us to be so filled and so overflown with the fullness of God and his love for us that it becomes a source and a root of our lives. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. I'm going to end right here. Amen. Woo! I just got revelation. God is love. And today we want to say, we love you, Daddy, God. And we want to thank you, Father, for loving us and caring for us. And Lord, I ask you that we would receive this revelation of this love that's supposed to be rooted in us, and that it's so big, and because of this love that's inside of us, that we have to live by faith in it, but to release it out of us, because that love inhabits everything. And we don't really understand it. By words cannot reveal your love. So, Lord, it's got to be by supernatural revelation by the Holy Spirit. So, Lord, I just ask you right now to just pour in that love inside of each and every one of us. Baptize us in this love. Wow. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for today. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for honoring and blessing you today, Lord. We thank you for all that you do for us, how you care for us, how you take care of us. And Lord, I thank you for the authority that you have given us here on this earth. Everything that we have need of is in your kingdom. We live in your kingdom, and your kingdom is ruled by love. So, Lord, we just thank you for that right now. In Jesus' precious name, amen, amen. Glory to God. Woo! Wow. Wow, wow, you're right. Wow, wow, wow. Woo, and wow. Wow, wow, wow. Okay, should I pray over the food? I think we have a little bit in the back, too, so don't go home without that. But, you know, the Ministry of Helps brought in some food. Please stay. So, Lord, I just lift up all that food today. As we celebrate, we're celebrating, Lord, Father, and how you love us. So this is a love day, a love feast. So, Lord, we thank you for this food. Bless it to our bodies. Bless the hands that made it for us, Lord. And have an awesome day today, wherever you're at, and an awesome week in Jesus' name. Amen. And if you need prayer for anything, we're here for you. Don't leave without prayer if you really need it. And no problem. Have a blessed and awesome day. Amen.